Hello, the atmospheric piano playing of today's special guest, Danilo Perez, performing there with his band leader, the legendary saxophonist Wayne Shorter. But Kevin Lejeune is here with me today. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Claire.
Now, you interviewed Danilo for Jazz Lineup when you were in Poland at the European Jazz Network Conference. He's such a force for good, isn't he? What was he like to talk to, and what have we got to look forward to today?
He's an inspiring human being as well as a great musician. So I was at the European Jazz Network Conference in Wrocław, and the theme of the conference, which is very important, is listen up. It's all about the value of listening, not just to the music, but to communities who partake in the music as well, to anybody who has an interest in jazz, and how jazz can listen to the needs of that particular community and help. And as you'll hear in the interview, Danilo really talks about the music as a force for good, a kind of social cohesion. It's very, very inspiring.
Sounds great. Well, also on today's show, in the year of the pianist Thelonious Monk centenary, we have a very special performance by saxophonist Tony Kofi and his quartet, and they're performing Monk's music. So here's a taste. Tony Kofi Quartet playing Thelonious Monk. Well, that set's coming up later on in the show, but first let's hear a track from the Danish keyboardist Morten Schantz, whose new group are being described as a 20th century weather report. Led by Schantz on keyboards, the music is full of life and it's really vibrant and bold, mixing electronic textures with the soulful sax playing of the celebrated young player Marius Neset and the fine drum work of Anton Eger. Well, this album is a great representation of some of the most vital new music bursting onto the European scene. So from the album Godspeed, let's enjoy the musical journey of Dark Matter.
Thank you.
out now on Edition Records. That was Dark Matter from the album Godspeed, and that band is led by its namesake, keyboardist Morten Schantz. Are you familiar with his work, Kevin?
I am. I enjoyed the album, and you can certainly hear the Joe's Avenel influence, the Weather Report reference, as you say, and maybe also a little bit of Jan Garbarek in there as well, with electronic textures, and it's interesting.
It's very good. Well, you've brought in some music. What have you selected this week?
Well, my first track is by the Israeli saxophonist Amit Friedman, who I'd never heard of before, and this album called Long Way to Go just dropped through the letterbox. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was really interesting that we had a group led by this Israeli saxophonist featuring mostly Israeli players who are unknown, but who seem to be very, very confident. They're young musicians who I don't think have ever played in the UK. And you'll hear that the music, which is all original, really has a lot of drive and punch to it. You've got these Middle Eastern and Latin rhythms and textures entwining. It's very beautiful and very lyrical. And this is my favourite track with an Afro-Cuban influence. This is Candombe.
Amit Friedman with Candombe, taken from his album Long Way to Go. And I'm definitely going to listen to the rest of that, Kevin. Thanks. Pianist and composer Mike Westbrook was a key figure in the 1960s in the development of British jazz and is a widely respected player and composer. Well, after moving to London in 1962, Westbrook led numerous bands, large and small, and played regularly at theatres and clubs around London. And together with the pianist Chris McGregor's Brotherhood of Breath, he shared the role of house band at Ronnie Scott's club. Last July, he recorded Paris, his first solo piano recording in almost 40 years, which was recorded over the course of two nights and produced by John Heisman. Here's one of the two Beatles tracks that he covered on the session, She Loves You. Mike Westbrook's take on Lennon McCartney's She Loves You, and that's taken from his recent release called Paris, out on the ASC label. Kevin, that really was a reworking, his own interpretation of that classic melody, because I only caught a glimpse of what I knew as She Loves You at the end there. How about you?
There aren't any yeah yeahs.
Definitely
on
there. Not.
It's oblique, it's cryptic, and I think it really works. There's a great tradition of jazz musicians teasing you with fleeting quotes of melodies, things that you might know, things that you should know, recontextualizing them so you hear them in a different way. The interesting thing about this record, I think because of Mike Westbrook's ongoing interest in theatre and song cycles, is that it's arranged in terms of parts. So it's an unfolding story. And this song, She Loves You, comes at the end of the third part of the journey, which is Love Stories. And it starts with Goethe, goes on to You Make Me Feel Brand New, A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square, and then we get to She Loves You. So in the context of the music, it's a really nice twist.
Well, Mike Westbrook is really well known for his work with his talented singer-songwriter wife, Kate Westbrook, who's really quite something. I wondered if you'd seen them both perform.
I haven't seen them perform, but I think the musical relationship between them is so strong that all you have to do is listen to the records and you can hear that empathy. The fact that they've co-written songs, they write songs together on this piece is very important. She's a very good singer, but she's also a key musical collaborator for him.
Very theatrical. She's absolutely a real inspiration. Well, a great place to hear them both in the near future will be on Friday the 17th of March. And that's all happening at King's Place in London at 8 p.m. And that should be a very special night. On FM, online and on digital radio, this is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3. And I'm joined by Kevin Ajonra. Kevin, we've still got that interview coming up with you and Danilo Perez to look forward to. But now it's time for a special performance, which we recorded on the Jazz Lineup stage as part of the London Jazz Festival back in November with the Tony Kofi Quartet. It's a really lovely homage to Thelonious Monk.
It is, and it makes perfect sense because Tony has lived inside the music of Thelonious Monk for many years. You might remember the Monkathon tribute that he did several years ago at the London Jazz Festival,
right,
where they played the entire works of Thelonious Monk. It was a Monk marathon, and that was great. And he just knows the music so well. He's steeped in it, and that really comes across in the performance, which was one of the outstanding sets at the Jazz Lineup stage at the Claw Ballroom at South Bank Centre during the London Jazz Festival last year. We had five artists on our stage: Shez Raja, Oren Marshall, Candice Springs, Misha Mulovabardo, and Tony's set really, really brought some vibrant, very joyous energy into the room.
You really did. So for the next 20 minutes or so, sit back and enjoy the music, performed with real passion and flair by Rod Young on the drums, Ben Hazelton on the bass, Jonathan Gies playing the piano, and it's led by Tony Kofi on alto sax. This is the Tony Kofi Quartet, Play Monk.
Thank you. The first number you heard was entitled Thelonious, his namesake. And the second one was entitled Brilliant Corners. This one, Monk, wrote for his wife, and this is entitled Crepuscule with Nelly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please show your appreciation to Mr. Rod Youngs on drums, Mr. Rod Youngs. Mr. Ben Hazelton on double bass. Mr. Jonathan G on piano. Yours truly, Tony Kofi, alto saxophone. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the festival. I know it's going to be amazing.
That was Light Blue, ending tonight's concert set by Tony Kofi and his quartet, Plain Monk. And for all the titles played on today's show, check out the playlist on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, and I'm still joined by Kevin LeGenre. Lovely to hear that concert again, Kevin, wasn't it?
Fantastic. Monk's music is so timeless. If you think how unique and how individual the sound is, where everything fits together, the chords, the rhythm, the melody. And I think Tony has completely cracked it, as I say, because he has a long engagement of playing that music. It just sounded beautiful.
Well, we're going to look forward to plenty more Monk music this year because, of course, this year marks his centenary. So looking forward to that. Well, now for something completely different, let's drift away with the meditative sounds of the kora, the African harp, and the gorgeous piano playing of the Grammy-nominated Cuban artist Omar Sosa. Well, Kevin, tell us about who he's collaborated with on this, because it's very special, isn't it?
It's a Nottingham-based Senegalese kora player called Sekou Keita, who has been around for many years playing in Britain and in Europe as well. And I think the collaboration really works because of the sensitivity that the two musicians have displayed, the kind of respect that each one has for the other's instrument. And also, Omar Sosa has a long-standing interest in string instruments. He worked with Moroccan Gimbri players many years ago, and he has an ability to tune into people playing string instruments, and the kora is one of the great string instruments of Africa. And you hear the communication between the two is quite outstanding.
So from the album Transparent Water, let's hear the dreamy Dari. And if you listen carefully, you can faintly hear the sound of running water.
Thank you.
Taken from their album called Transparent Water, out on the World Village label, and due to be released on February the 24th, that was Omar Sosa and Seku Kaita with Dari. Well, from the international flavours of artists from Cuba and Senegal, it's off to Panama we go next. Kevin, you had an encounter with Wayne Shorter's pianist Danilo Perez in Poland. He's very committed to education and motivation through his music, isn't he?
Absolutely. It's music as a form of healing. It's music as a way of improving people's lives. And jazz, which we know is a complex art form, is something that can resonate with people in all kinds of circumstances, whether they're in a concert hall or whether they're in slums and they've been traumatized. So he's really, really looking at the way that he can use music as a force for good, and it's very inspiring. And it makes perfect sense for Danilo to be the UNESCO Artist for Peace, as well as a cultural ambassador for Panama. But let's not forget that he's first and foremost a brilliant jazz pianist. So before we hear the interview, let's hear Danilo actually performing the music of Thelonious Monk, appropriately given today's show. Several years ago, he recorded a great album in tribute to Monk called Panamonk, and this is one of the outstanding tracks. This is his version of Think of One. Thank you. I'm with Danilo Perez in Wrocław in Poland for the European Jazz Network Conference. And Danilo gave a fantastic keynote speech about the power of jazz, or the power of music and the power of community as well. How all of these things fit together, how you can change communities for the better through jazz. Jazz is a force for good. And we'll talk about that. But I wanted to start off by asking you about your role as a UNESCO artist for peace, as well as a cultural ambassador for Panama. These are important non-musical elements that are a complement to your life as a musician.
See, the way I found a balance is that I found unity in everything I'm doing. So as a cultural ambassador of Panama, I see and I feel all the connection in the work that I do. So because of the idea of working with performance therapy, which is what I consider myself I'm going towards, the direction, I see unity in all these works. I see the UNESCO Artists for Peace. With that kind of vision, I can see all the work I put. If I write a song, it's in the purpose and the meaning to do good, and as Wayne recommended me.
And Wayne Shorter.
He said, write and play music the way you want the world to be like. You know, so I'm a social activist by nature. I also am an educator and an artist. So all of this come together, the responsibility I have, you know, artists for peace, working towards the main goal, which is the betterment of society.
In real terms, Danilo, what is that work? What do you do? Is it classes, workshops, speeches, going into communities? What is it in real terms?
Exactly. You have it all. And basically, I'm committed to spreading the word, the message of the healing properties that jazz music has. We do it through education. I created a curriculum in an institute called the Berklee Global Jazz Institute, where the main goal is to create a creative environment, a community that empowers the student to be as creative as they can with their gift, but also really think about how that gift could affect humanity in a positive way. So we design a curriculum where we have different collaboration of the arts coming together. We created a rich program. We take the students to like nursing homes, to psychiatric hospital, to the jail system, because those spaces help them to realize the impact of music in people's life that may not be coming to a concert because they can't anymore. But they see the potential of music in the world and how music really impacts society. So that's the training in Boston. In Panama, we're working with education also, but we also have a very strong motivation component because we work with kids that are underprivileged kids. Sometimes they're from the gang, for example, and we help them to have a social cohesion in the community that they live on through the, ensembles, music, playing an instrument, improvising. All of those things help them to get self-esteem, to get confidence, to get hope. It's amazing how many of these kids in these areas in Panama, they don't even know the word hope, because at a certain age, they are thinking they're going to be dead. Those are the concrete ways I do it. When we play with Wayne, Shorter Quartet, when I play with my band, when we play with the Children of the Light with Brian and John Petitucci, we're all connected by this idea of performance therapy. Every time we get together, we are playing under this umbrella that our mission is to create the most creative platform we can to inspire people to do the same thing in their life. How do we become more human? Music allows that possibility.
Thank you.
Do you think that you started to tune into this idea of music as a force for good when, presumably, you heard the music of Wayne Shorter for the first time as a young man, whether it was Footprints or, I don't know, The All-Seeing Eye or Iris or some of those amazing songs that he wrote, where you feel that sense of humanity?
You know, I remember hearing a remark you made when the saxophone, the tenor saxophone there killed me. It's funny, a lot of people talk about the soprano, but I remember that being a kid, the weather report, a remark you made, it made me cry. When I remember now, I had this feeling of being human. Wayne has the capacity and the touch with this energy, this galactic energy, that he can transcend and he can bring you into his ride with him, to his sound, into his world. It functioned really deeply, so I remember being very emotional about that sound when I heard that solo he played there, a little bit of that phrase, whatever the note, I just felt very emotional. So there was a human contact there. Next human contact I had with him was through Terry Lynn Carrington. You know, when I was coming back from Canarian Island, I was playing with my trio and Terry Lynn was playing drums. We were crossing at the same time that the plane of Anna Maria, the TW, was crossing too. So our plane got delayed because there was a major accident, and the accident was Anna Maria.
So this was the accident which unfortunately claimed the life of Wayne's wife, Anna Maria.
Yeah, I was coming from, and we said, I'm sorry, there's been a terrible accident. We're going to have to hold on the plane for a while before we land. And I remember that day, Terry Lynn Carrington calling her machine, you know, and she heard the message that this tragedy had happened. And I remember the feeling was very sad. I mean, I didn't know Wayne personally, but at that day, when we got to Boston, I made the choice to spend a whole day with Terry Lynn. I felt the call. I felt the closeness to Wayne very deeply. And yeah, that's from the sound to this tragedy, I mean, it's incredible.
So in 2016, we celebrated International Jazz Day. And President Obama opened up the White House, and Herbie Hancock, as you know, had this long association with Wayne. He was one of the people who was invited. And I'm sure that you did lots of activities for International Jazz Day. Can you sum up the importance of International Jazz Day now?
Well, the first of all, it was an incredible celebration, important because at a level of Washington, to choose to celebrate this way was an important, you know, event. You know, I got to play with a group of people that I never played with. It was fantastic. I played with Pat Metheny and different, Chris McBride, different people. Then I went and did some master classes in different places in Washington. And I accompanied Herbie to the opening in the morning, or the ceremony. And we had a fantastic event in Boston at the Berklee Global Jazz Institute running. So we did a concert also in celebration and in Panama too. Actually, we had one in Chile too. So there was four events that we organized that day in Panama to celebrate Jazz Day.
What do you think it means for the music to be recognized in that way, to actually be called an international event, like a whole day dedicated to this form of music, which, let's not forget, was born of slavery and oppression and dehumanization and terrible conditions in America over a century ago. And now it's recognized around the world with the White House. I mean, it's quite incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, I think for me, the power that those things have is that they bring to the table the idea of conversation. Exchange. See, when you celebrate a Jazz Day, the question may be, for many people, say, why are we celebrating this? And the moment you ask that question, the question proposes another question and another question, and it creates a topic. And every year from then on, we'll have a question to talk about this. And hopefully what we have to do as a duty is get ready to try to answer those questions.
And how would you answer the question?
The questions you answer with another question.
That's jazz.
That's right. That's jazz. You know, one of the great things that we have to be talking is about the impact. As I said in my speech, I said that jazz is hope, and jazz is the living utopia of a better world. That's what it means to me.
Danilo, gracias.
Gracias a ustedes, and it's a blessing to be here, man.
Thank you.
Danilo Perez playing the title track of his album Panamunk. Kevin, the thing that moved me so much about that interview was when he said that some of these underprivileged children from these gang cultures had such low self-esteem and really didn't have a concept of the word hope. I mean, it's just so sad.
Absolutely, and that's what he is trying to do, to give them hope through music and let them know that they can achieve things, that it's possible to go on to become a great musician when you start from very little. I think that's the really, really uplifting thing about what he's doing in Panama. It's not just championing the music, but it's showing people they can make the most of themselves as individuals through the music and through other areas of their lives as well.
And come together as an ensemble and make music rather than fighting other gangs and stuff.
I saw footage during the European Jazz Network conference, footage that he showed of him and other musicians like John Patitucci, who's the bass player in Wayne Shorter's quartet, working with these young kids in Panama. It is joyous, to say the least. You really see how they're coming out of their shells as soon as they get into a practice room and start playing instruments. It's beautiful.
Brilliant. You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, here on BBC Radio 3. Well, let's hear something now from the singer-pianist Andy Bay, whose distinctive baritone voice has long been a favourite of mine, and also, in fact, of the sax legend John Coltrane, who cited Bay as his favourite vocalist. Well, he's now in his late 70s, but he's still playing and singing around the world, and he's always producing outstanding, classy work and choosing hip and unusual repertoire. Well, here he is with the Nick Drake classic, and I love this. This is River Man.
She had a word to say about things today, and falling leaves. Said she hadn't heard the news, hadn't had the time to choose a way to lose, but she gonna see the river man, gonna tell him all I can about the plan called Lilac Town. If he tells me all he knows about the way his river flows and all night shows in summertime. Betty said she prayed today for the sky to blow away, or maybe stay, she wouldn't say. For when she thought of summer rain calling for her mom again, lost the pain and stayed for more. Gonna see the river man, gonna tell him all I can about the man on feeling free. If he tells me all he knows about the way his river flows, don't suppose it's meant for me.
Andy Bay with River Man by Nick Drake, and that's taken from his 1998 release Shades of Bay on the Evidence label. He's got such an unusual and rich sound, Kevin, and that fast vibrato. Are you a fan of Andy Bay?
I am. That's a gorgeous rendition of a gorgeous song. As you well know, he's a singer with a lot of range, several octaves in his voice, but the understatement and the control there is masterful.
Ah, beautiful. But Kevin, the next track you brought in is from a real legend, the alto saxophonist Lee Konitz.
That's right. It's his debut album for Impulse, which is kind of incredible when you think about how long he's been recording. He's 89 years old. This is an excellent quartet album, which finds him playing with the bassist Peter Washington, the drummer Kenny Washington, and the pianist Kenny Barron, who's a recent guest on Jazz Lineup. You can still hear that interview on iPlayer. The music is full of signature Lee Konitz interpretations. Very beautiful, very lyrical, lots of subtlety in the playing. There are a lot of standards like Stella by Starlight and Invitation, but this is one of the few original pieces by Lee Konitz. This is called Gundula.
Konitz with the track Gundula, taken from his release Frescolato. Well, our time's nearly up for this week, but on next week's Jazz Lineup, Kevin, you'll be back with another classic album recommendation that was a real giant step for jazz. I have to say I'm really looking forward to it. Tell us about it.
It's by Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Jazz, and it is her classic album Sweet and Hot.
Cannot wait. Look forward to that, and thanks very much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Well, also on next week's show, I'll be celebrating the music of the late, great Sir Richard Rodney Bennett. Jazz Now will be here on Monday night at 11 p.m. on BBC Radio 3, and this week with a set from Bobo Stenson and the Martin Speak Quartet. But to sign off today, let's hear a track from the final album from the late bassist Charlie Hayden, who passed away in 2014. And it's something recorded with his celebrated Liberation Music Orchestra. But this ensemble was one of the most influential groups to emerge from the avant-garde in the 60s and was founded by Hayden and the pianist-arranger Carla Bley as a way to protest social and political injustices. This is a Bley composition, Silent Spring. Till next time, from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye. Thank you.